Nah, take that. That's Butterflies and Hurricanes by Muse. Before that, you heard The End Has No End by The Strokes. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. I'm Adam Buxton.
Hello, I'm Joe Cornish. Can I say that was The Muse? Does everyone say that?
This is The Muse.
That was The Muse at 1:10.
The Muse at 1:10. We're off to a flying start. Well, we've been away for quite a while, and rather than come back overburdened with tedious ideas, new features.
I hate new features.
Let's face it, everyone's bored of new features.
I hate new things.
Exactly. New is so yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're just stripping it right back. And it's going to be sort of really minimal radio today, yeah? Like spare, lean, you know? No fat.
Wow.
I almost feel like just playing another song now. Do you know what I'm saying?
Really?
No, I'm not going to, but I'm just... That's where my head's at.
Yeah. Did you see the Celebrity Awards this week?
Oh, did I?
There was some good stuff in the Celebrity Awards. I want to talk a bit about those later.
We should do, yeah.
One of my favourite lines, it was hosted by Martine McCutcheon.
Absolutely.
One of her lines was, here comes the man who puts the ooh into footballers' wives. Footballers' wives?
I think she's thinking about the sexiness overall.
Yeah, but...
I know, she's missed the point.
Work, does it?
She's missed the point.
Footballers' wives?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also, I think we should talk about some of the summer movies. You know, I know it's all over... But I don't even know what kind of films you've been watching, Joe. I want to talk to you about some of the ones I've been watching, get your critical feedback, which is very important to me. You know, I don't know if you've seen the crop of blockbuster documentaries that we've been enjoying this summer. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I'd like to get your feedback because I'm worried about some of them. Super Size Me, 9/11, all that sort of thing I'd like to talk to you about.
And listeners, you can please join in. Our email address is adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk. A-N-D rather than an ampersand, right?
Yeah, no.
And you can text us on 83XFM.
I'll tell you one other thing that you could email or text in would be... I was thinking about iPods. I know it's boring to talk about iPods, but I'm going to. I was thinking, like, what's the last thing you got rid of on your iPod? Do you have, like, a purging session, or is your iPod just so massive that you just leave everything on
it's
there?
It's massive. I've got lots of space on my iPod.
But if you have it on random, do you not get irritated when things pop up and you think, oh, I've got to get rid of that?
Sometimes, yeah.
And then you have a, like, big purging session. I have one about once every couple of months.
Are we talking about this now or later?
Well, we could talk about it later. I was curious to see what listeners had purged from their iPods recently.
Okay.
In a way, you could call it a feature, but features are so yesterday.
Yeah,
Purge My Pod, it would
news.
Be called. Anyway, let's have some more music right now. This is the Manic Street Preachers. Have you heard this song before, The Love of Richard Nixon?
No.
It's insane. Listen to the lyrics. They're demented. They're not the kind of things you would normally have in a pop song, but it's good stuff. Manic Street Preachers on XFM.
I have never been
acquitted. That's the only bit I don't like, the talking, the sample-y bit at the end.
But that's what it's all about, that's the key.
I don't like the key.
Well, you've got to like it, it's part of the song.
No, I don't, it's my right not to like it.
What's the song about?
Well, it's about Bush, isn't it? He's Richard III, according to the Manics.
Right. They're nostalgic for Nixon as a kind of nicer form of corruption.
No, I think they're saying nothing changes. Plus ça change dans le White House.
Really?
Dans le Chateau Blanc.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not a very original thing to say, is it?
Well, it's what everyone else is saying.
It is.
So I think they say it very well. I think that's a very good song.
Yeah.
My son, who's two, likes that. When
Does
it came
he?
On, yeah, in the car, he said, oh, I like this one.
Really?
Is like this
Japanese?
One. Yeah, he's Japanese. We adopted him. And he says, oh, I like this one. Anyway, I like this one as well. It's good. Love of
you
Richard
know,
Nixon.
You know, something funny's happening to rock, isn't it? It's all going Stephen Tintin Duffy all of a sudden. It's going electronic.
And people singing a bit, Pet Shop
yes,
Boys.
Yes, it is. Like the Robbie Williams single.
Oh, that's rubbish.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Is it rubbish?
Yes.
Well, obviously it's rubbish, but... I don't know.
No, come on.
It's written by Stephen Tintin Duffy.
Is it?
Yeah, and I've got a soft spot for Stephen Tintin Duffy. He was a member of Duran Duran, for the younger listeners out there. Probably don't even know who Duran Duran are. But he used to be in Duran Duran. He got kicked out. Yeah, became a solo singer.
I didn't know that.
Was quite a good poppy artist in the 80s when Adam
Kiss
and I were very small.
Kiss me with your mouth.
And now he's writing songs for the Blobster. Mm. The Robster, who's a singularly unappealing, monstrous, moronic, insert
don't mince your words,
word
though.
Here. But... you know, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No. I mean, you know, I'm not...
E in the arsenal or something, doesn't it go?
I can't remember. It's so unmemorable. Say what you like about Williams, but, you know, a lot of his stuff at least is memorable, and he's... But the new one is not convincing.
But that... also, that Manic Street Preachers song sounded a bit like an 80s electronic revival, didn't it, everybody?
Good, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so good at spotting trends.
Yeah, man, you're the king.
Yeah. I should be a cool hunter.
Don't become a cool hunter. I was watching Super Size Me last night on my imported American DVD.
Illegal.
Like a kind of jerk.
Illegal.
And I was so bored, I had to switch it off. Have you seen it?
I have seen it, yeah.
Oh, it's torture. I mean, if I had seen that in the cinema, I would have just gone out to McDonald's.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw it on a tape.
Yeah.
That a friend of mine who works in the biz gave me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw it long before anyone else had seen it, so the snob factor kicked in quite majorly, and I liked it.
Right, right.
It really helps me enjoy a film if I'm seeing it before.
I thought you were Mr. Cinematic Snob, though. This isn't what? Cinema. This
no,
is
I
not...
watched it on a tape on my telly.
Okay, fair enough.
So it was a telly programme. It was quite good. I liked it.
Yeah.
And I think it's got a lot of very good points to make.
Well, obviously it does, because it's a legitimate thing to
yeah,
say, isn't
I
it?
I tell you, the stuff I liked was the school where all the kids were fed on junk food and then they changed the menu to veggies and all the kids started to behave. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And I liked the point that the guy made that streets all around the world are all the same, so they're like the background in a Hanna-Barbera cartoon that just goes round and round. I thought that was a very nice visual metaphor.
Yep, yep, yep. It's just that the whole thing seems to be hung on the stunt of him consuming nothing but McDonald's for a month.
Yeah.
Which seems so sort of lame and silly, and, like, what's he trying to say about that? Like, you'd have to be a jerk,
McDonald's
obviously.
Is bad food.
Bad food,
McDonald's
but if you
so
ate, you know, if
food.
You ate only bananas for a month, you'd something terrible would happen to
power.
You.
You'd get banana.
You're not
power.
Taking my point seriously. You're talking about banana power.
Yeah, but you could if you ate bananas for a month, you would be wicked.
You'd be like a monkey.
You would be brilliant.
I can't talk to you about Super Size Me
you
if you're just going to talk about monkeys
you poo
and
bananas.
You see, this is the level of
Wouldn't
debate,
you?
Isn't it? That I expect
you'd just
from
be,
you.
It would be a perpetual motion machine.
It wouldn't be good for you, but you wouldn't do it. I'm not going to suddenly say, oh, come and see a banana boy.
Put it this way, man. I think bananas have more nutrition in them than your average anything from McDonald's.
Go on, do banana boy.
All
eat
right,
bananas
for, the
for a month.
Next 3 months, I'll eat bananas.
You only have to do
nothing
it 1 month.
But bananas. 3 months. I'm doing it for 3 months.
Wow.
The fact is, I'm not going to do it at all, so I might as well say 3 months.
Okay. That would be amazing if you did. That, you'd have a film right there. All you need is a little premise, and you've got a film, and you can go to Cannes, and you
what,
can...
an anti-banana industry film?
Yeah, because, you know, bananas have been getting
industry.
Away with it for too long. And they're packed
force
with...
force-feeding the kids bananas.
Cholesterol, they're the most fatty fruit you can eat.
All those tie-in cartoons, Banana Man trying to flog bananas to the kids.
Yeah, that's the
makes
real
me sick.
Enemy. Let's get the bananas.
This is Adam and Joe on XFM, London's 104.9. You can email us, adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk. You can text us, 83XFM. I don't know. You can just shout at your radio, or you can ignore us. Switch us off. Whatever you want.
Here's where the story ends. That's The Sundays. This is XFM with Adam and Joe. We got music coming up from the likes of The Future Heads, Foo Fighters, The Killers, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, as well, of course, as lots more chat about kind of the pop cultural detritus of the world today.
Now, thanks to everybody who's texted us on 83XFM. There's been a lot of responses to a lot of the things we've raised already. Apparently eating bananas non-stop for 3 months, a la Super Size Me, could put you into a cardiac arrhythmia. Is that a word?
Yeah, arrhythmia.
Arrhythmia, because they contain high amounts of potassium.
There you go.
Right. And we've got some songs that people have erased off their iPod.
Oh, what kind of thing? I'm more interested in whole albums. Like, for example, I went through and I got rid of Dizzy Rascal, Boy in the Corner, the other day. Because it just kept on popping up while I was cycling when I had the thing on random. And just ruining my cycle with him just sort of... one of the clanky ones with people hitting bits of metal and him just going... And so I just... Yeah, he talks about Mr. Donnie Blair.
Why did you buy that album?
Because everyone told me to buy it. Everyone said it's genius. He's a genius. You've got to buy it. If you haven't got it, then you're a moron.
God. can't believe you still follow the mags.
I've got to, because they just tell me so sincerely that if I don't get these albums, then I'm blinkered and I don't care about music. And I feel I do care about music. So I go out and buy them, and they sit there on my iPod, ruining my afternoon for a while, and then I have to just get rid of them 3 months later.
Phil from Chelmsford says, I got rid of Chumbawamba from my iPod.
Oh, what was it doing in the first place?
I replaced it with Stutter Rap by Morris Minor and the Majors.
That's a good idea. That's Tony Hawk's.
The song I want to get off my iPod is Jungle Love by Morris Day and the Time.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Are they Prince affiliates?
Yeah, they were the band who were up against Prince in Purple Rain.
What's that doing there?
That's a good track. Well, it's just a novelty track. I thought it was funny, but the joke's worn off.
Yeah. And the other ones, obviously, are, like, immensely long tracks. Oh, like, I got... the one big mistake I made was getting that... Deloused in the Crematorium.
What?
Who are they? The Mars Volta, they're called. And it's like sort of miserable heavy metal prog rock again, which all the mags assured me was just sort of amazing visionary genius. And I'm sure there are people out there right now screaming at me, it is genius, you idiot! But not in my brain. Mm. I had to get rid of it. Also, The Streets went this week.
Did they?
Yeah, Grand Don't Come For Free. See ya! And it's just freed up a lot of valuable space for an old Thompson Twins album.
Good manoeuvre.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks as well to everybody who's emailed us while we were away, saying where are we and will we come back. We got a lot of very nice emails. Thanks to everyone who cares. And we're going to be back for the foreseeable future. So please keep getting in touch.
Yeah, we're going to really stick with it this time. Is that right? Like through thick and thin.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to be here unless we get fired for being too rubbish or we swear or, I don't know, one of us gets caught with a hooker or something. We're just going to be here forever and ever and ever. Amen. XFM. All These Things That I've Done by The Killers, the third single to be taken from their debut album, which is called Hot Fuss, which is revolting. Why would you call your album Hot Fuss? It just sounds like a... word for poo or something. Oh, I've done a hot fuss. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. Good song, though, by The Killers. I think I might have to investigate that album.
That'll be on your iPod for a week.
Yeah, that's right. Someone said they just got rid of a Soul Wax album. That's a good type of, like, have you seen the new Soul Wax cover? Like, it's a sort of op art thing.
No.
And it looks like loads of dots, just dots.
Right.
And then if you sort of stand across the room and hold it at the right angle, you can see that it says Soul Wax.
Ooh.
And haven't heard it, so it might be really brilliant, but I suspect that the cover might be the best thing about it.
Yeah. So this is Adam and Joe on XFM, London's 104.9. We were talking about the summer movies.
Yeah.
And we were kind of doing a little assessment of all the huge, life-changing, entertaining spectacles and controversial documentaries that have been unspooling on screen around the capital. I said unspooling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was your favourite stupid blockbuster then?
My favourite stupid blockbuster? Well, you know what? I quite like The Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, quite like that.
That seems like a long time ago. That was the beginning of the summer.
Yeah.
But it was that nothing really beat it, I don't think. Even Spider-Man I enjoyed slightly less than that.
Mm.
Problem I had with Spider-Man, which I mentioned to you before...
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2, yeah.
Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 2, does whatever a Spider-Man 2 can do.
Oh, nice. Well done for staying away from poo.
Thanks.
Yeah, about half an hour into Spider-Man 2, it's time to ask questions, and most of them are about Doc Ock, right?
Right.
And just why he does certain things. So he wants to build a new machine, right, when he goes mad.
You've got notes about Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, I wrote notes.
Okay.
And he smashes his machine, it blows up, so he wants to build a new one because he's insane.
Yeah.
So rather than... And he's, like, got big tentacle arms and he's very powerful.
Yeah.
So rather than just going and nicking the parts for the machine...
Yeah.
He goes and robs a bank...
To get the money.
To get the money so he can say, hello, Doc Ock here. Yes, I'm building a new evil machine. I've got the money. I've robbed a bank. Could you send the parts to Doc Octopus, Crumbly Pier Evil Laboratory, just at the edge of town? Thanks very much. And just ring twice, because I don't usually answer on the first ring.
It's a fair point, Adam, but he's a villain. He's a thief. Everything he has to do has to be villainous.
Right, so
he wanted to buy it legally... But he couldn't. He said, well, I better buy it with stolen money.
See what you mean, yeah. So he thought, yeah, OK, it's not enough just to go and nick parts, because that's only one crime. He's got to go and... But you see, it doesn't work, because then he robs the bank, and he's robbed himself of a crime, which is nicking the parts.
Well, I tell you what, that film had more integrity and sense than Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11.
Controversial. Well, I haven't seen that yet.
Man's a liar.
Is he?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
You're on the run, man.
I'm just assuming an attitude.
You don't want the wrath of the Michael Moore fans on you, man. That'll be the end of you.
No, I didn't. I don't. Obviously, I don't like George Bush at all. I think he's a complete dangerous idiot. But I didn't like that film very much, Fahrenheit 9/11.
Did you see it in a packed cinema with screaming Bane?
I saw it in a packed cinema in Islington.
Yeah.
With every single person in the audience nodding at everything he said.
Yeah.
And shaking their heads and tutting. I don't know.
It just makes
it's just there's something a bit creepy and wrong about it.
Do you know what I mean? I just feel alienated when something is that massive and you just think, surely this is just a bit more propaganda of just a different kind. It doesn't... Everything's so black and white in Michael Moore's world. There's no sort of thought.
He's so fat.
He's so fat?
How can a guy that's so fat know anything? What fatty. Michael Moore's a fatty.
There we go. All the incisive film criticism here on XFM with Adam and Joe. I think we should talk about the Celebrity Awards quite soon, don't you?
Yeah.
OK, first a bit more music. This is R.E.M. R.E.M., that's Leaving New York. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
So a little thing I've noticed around the West End of London this week, and people around the country might notice it. Holly Hunter's coming to the West End.
Hooray!
To star in a big West End play. That's exciting. She's a big Hollywood star.
Yeah.
Coming to the West End. The posters are going up. Do you know what the play's called?
No.
It's called By the Bog of Cats.
By the Bog of Cats?
By the Bog of Cats.
The Cat Bog?
By the Lav of Cats.
By the Cat Box?
Where the cats poo.
Yeah.
Yeah? What can that be about? By the Bog of Cats, some cats have done some little turds.
Maybe it's about...
And Holly Hunter in a beautiful dress stands next to them.
She's like a tiny person. They've got an amazing, huge set. And halfway through, a huge, hairy cat bum comes in.
Yeah.
And delivers some...
A little cat egg.
Cat pop.
Yeah.
And, wow, that sounds amazing.
What about William Hurt in Among the Eggs of Dogs?
That's not...
Did you see that?
Yeah, I would see that.
I think that might come into the West End after Holly Hunter's finished with The Bog of Cats.
There's not enough about dog eggs.
Those are very weird posters. Give us a text if you spot the poster for By the Bog of Cats starring Holly Hunter.
Or if you've seen it.
If you know what it's about. Let it be about cat poo.
Has it started yet?
Please. Isn't it nice when you sort of take the mickey out of something like that and then someone calls in and it actually is about cat poo?
That would be amazing.
But it's really good.
Yeah.
A sort of a double bluff.
Well, you know, we were talking, months ago about all the shows in the West End, like theatre shows that have been developed from movies.
Yes.
It seems to be a trend that's continuing. There's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, of course.
Yes.
With Christian Slater and Mackenzie Crook. And,
I mean, that's a bit sad, isn't it, basically?
Why?
Because his whole career, Christian Slater was accused of being a Jack Nicholson impersonator.
Right.
He worked really hard to go in the other direction. And now he's in the West End impersonating Jack Nicholson.
Well, it's a happy ending in a way.
And I'm sorry, in my opinion, another controversial opinion for this Saturday, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is not that brilliant a piece of work. It's trying to tell you that mad people are actually sane, and sane people are mad.
But didn't you know that, Joe?
Well, it's just not true. People who are mentally ill need help. They're not necessarily geniuses who know the truth about the world and should revolt and take over by throwing... big fridges through the window or whatever Chief Bromden does.
Yeah.
You know? Isn't he called Bromden?
I think he is.
Something like that. And Chief Billy Bromley. I used to love that film when I was a teenager, but when I had some experience of mental illness, I realised it was an load of 60s idealistic nonsense.
Certainly,
really.
It's much less glamorous, when you or someone you know gets ill.
Mm.
It's not quite such a kooky adventure.
Mm.
But it's quite a dark, it's a very dark book.
Mm.
If you read it, it's quite different from the film.
If you read it with the lights out.
Yeah. That's pitch black, then, if you read it with lights out.
If you read it by the Bog of Cats.
Listen, I just wanted to mention a couple of adverts that I've been getting irritated by this week. A couple of people emailed us and were talking about that kind of thing. And my key one, and I don't know if you've been irritated by this, is the Kit Kat ad.
Right.
Which is supposed to be irritating because they're all banging things and shouting, and it's three people on their break. They're at work, and they come in, and they just start screaming and crashing pots and pans together in the kitchen, and then they go out, and it's because they work in a library, and they don't get to make much noise, so they go and they have their break, and they make a lot of noise, and they eat their Kit Kat. That's the premise of the ad, but it just comes off very annoying because they're shouting, and you want to kill them. Have you seen that one?
I have. It's a big ad for Kit Kat because it's the first time they've stopped using their phrase, have a break, have a Kit Kat, isn't it? Like, well, they used that for 30 years. And they're changing it.
They've slightly changed. They haven't changed it. The premise is still the same. It's still about breaks.
But what's the tagline?
Have a break, have a Kit Kat.
Is it?
I don't know, but it's something like that. It's something like, enjoy your break, have a Kit Kat. Or make the most of your break. Something like that.
That's an annoying one. More annoying are the Cadbury's ones.
Which one are those?
Where your happiness is represented by an animal.
Oh.
They're just genuinely odd.
Is that the blue arms?
No, it's not the little fluffy blue arm guy. It's like a woman with a big stuffed animatronic tiger. And you know what? I'll have to watch them and write them down. Listeners, if you see any of those really annoying Cadbury's ads, do write them down in some detail and email them to us and we can talk about them next week. The other one, two other adverts driving me mad at the moment. The first is the Galaxy one where, think Galaxy, think dressing up, think chocolate. A very lonely woman is dressing in beautiful clothing as if she's going for a night out.
Yeah.
And all she does once she's finished getting dressed is open the drawer, get out a big bar of Galaxy and shove it in her gob.
Hey, you know what? This leads me on to something I wanted to talk about, which was some of the techniques that particularly Roundtree Nestle, which they're now called, use to actually push their bars of chocolate onto unsuspecting lonely ladies. And they've got a whole load of sort of scientific techniques that they use. But I'll tell you more about that in just a second. Right now, here's the first of our free plays this week. This is the Eagles of Death Metal and a track from their very good album, which is called Peace, Love, Death Metal. This is San Badu Sunburn.
Nice. They sound like a group of jolly old dustmen.
That's why I like them.
A group of happy dustmen who've just come off a shift and they decide to make a bit of stomp-style music dustbin lids
that's more
and
or
hot-nailed
less
boots.
What they are. There's one... It's Josh Homme, I think, is involved.
Josh Hartnett?
Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. That's the Eagles of Death Metal with San Badu Sunburn here on XFM. Apologies to listeners if it sounds as if one of us is in the bath.
Technical problems happening here.
Yeah. Mm. We're not actually in the bath, although that's a good idea for a show if we can work out, like, the electricity aspect of it. We'll be back in just 1 second. Stick with us at XFM. XFM. Can't Stand Me Now, that's the Libertines. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
My mic's... They keep moving my mic. Now I'm having to hunch.
We're trying to get rid of the broadcasting from the bath quality.
Now, it's been very exciting for people who enjoy the Star Wars films because of their release on DVD. And many of you out there will have bought the Star Wars box set, I bet. Or, you know people who've got it. And so I've put together my top three favourite bits from the amazing documentary that's on there. There's a fantastic 90-minute documentary about... 90 minutes, or is it even 2 hours?
2 hours.
It's very long.
Empire of Dreams.
It's a fantastic documentary about the making of the Star Wars trilogy. And Adam and I are sort of known as Star Wars nerds, even though it's not strictly true. You know, we like the movies and we played with the toys as a kids, but we're not, like, insane Star Wars obsessives.
No, in fact, we were probably more into the toys and the films in some ways.
Yeah, but you can't help but be interested in the documentary that's in the new DVD set, the biggest selling set of DVDs of all time.
Wait, are you talking about the Adam and Joe DVD?
I'm not talking... Well, no, let's talk about the Adam and Joe DVD. That's amazing as well, isn't it?
Apparently, yeah.
$12.49 on Play. That's amazing.
It's got an extraordinary documentary on it as well.
$15.99 from the shops.
Yeah. Anyway...
So the Star Wars documentary, there's some fantastic stuff in it, but I've lifted out my top three favourite sort of Star Wars unheard moments that we should play in a second. Ooh. Once I've handed the CD to Adam and he's checked the levels.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. Listen, I wanted to tell you about the stuff I found on the Nestle Roundtree website. We were talking about ladies and chocolate bars earlier on. Someone emailed in to call me a knob jockey as well because I didn't like the Kit Kat ad. So sorry about that, if you really love that ad. It just slightly grates, that's all. But I went on the Nestle Roundtree site because I was confused about Smarties. I saw that they were relaunching, or there was a new type of Smartie, and to me it looked like Juicers, like little candy things, rather than being chocolate-covered. Chocolates. Candy-coloured...
Chocolate-covered chocolates.
Chocolate-covered.
What a fantastic idea.
Isn't that what Smarties are?
Now, that's chocolate-covered chocolates.
That's what minstrels are.
They're candy-covered chocolates.
What is candy?
Candy. That's a very good question, Adam. But whatever it is, it's not chocolate. Candy is just, I believe, a term to describe anything that's sweet but of undiscernible origin.
Maybe it's just another form of sugary stuff, isn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, well. Anyway, I went on to the Nestle Roundtree site to allay some of my confusion about Smarties. Didn't actually succeed, but I did find some amazing sales tips that they have for people in corner shops and stuff, or anywhere that stocks chocolates. And they've got a new unit. And it says Nestle Roundtree and Take a Break magazine have teamed up to offer retailers the chance to boost sales with a brand new unit linking confectionery with women's magazines. So basically what the unit is, and it's known as the Time For Me unit, is a cardboard box. And it's got chocolate bars in it. And the geniuses at Nestle Roundtree have sat the box, or told retailers to sit the box next to ladies' mags. So women who like reading about diets and stuff like that will be able to enjoy some Rolos and or an Aero while they're reading about their new diet.
And they won't have to go over there.
Yeah.
They won't have to move over there to the chocolates to get the chocolates.
Exactly.
But the chocolates are next to the till anyway.
You've got to put temptation within reach. And that's the phrase. It says, put temptation within reach.
That's very important.
86% of confectionery in the independent stores is bought on impulse. Look for opportunities to tempt the shopper into making last-minute impulsive purchases by dual-sitting confectionery with related categories. Yeah. So, for example, they break these categories down and they say, for example, there's the quick break. Now, in that case, you cite confectionery in the chiller with the sandwiches and the soft drinks. Or there's the perfect gift category. So you put the chocolates for Valentine's Day next to flowers and cards, right? Makes sense. Or there's big break. 83% of people who buy a newspaper do not buy confectionery at the same time. Or no, do, surely, buy confectionery at the same time. So you put them next to the newspapers. And then there's the Time For Me category. 65% of confectionery is bought by women, Joe.
Mm.
So you tempt them with a treat for me, for when they're making me time.
Wow.
Which is very important. So I was thinking about other possible sales-related incentive placement ideas in shops. For example, why not put some toilet roll or Kleenex or even pairs of socks on the top shelf by the jazz magazines?
Put the tissues next to the,
the jazz magazines. You know, and the sales would soar. Don't bother hiding the Alco-Pops away with the wine and beer. Just Alco-Pop them next to the children's toys and the stationery
for
the
schools.
Idea. Yeah, so the kids don't have to walk so far between aisles.
Put temptation within reach.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the key, says Nestle Roundtree. Or Roundtree Nestle. Reintroduce game fans to the world of hygiene and relocate video games so that they sit amongst the soap and the deodorant. Be a nice little treat for them.
That's rather a cynical view of video game players, Buxton.
I just know a couple of stinky ones. Place copies of the new Robbie Williams album by the bin bags. People who love buying DVDs would be able to also buy things like Starsky and Hutch. You know, obviously that's absolutely rubbish, Starsky and Hutch. But DVDs like
the new film.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
they sell so well. People love buying DVDs. So if you've got some old crap that's absolutely rubbish and you want to just get rid of it, just sprinkle some DVDs around it.
Great idea.
And then they'd fly off the shelves.
They're terrific ideas.
Thanks very much.
Let's hope someone from Nestlé's listening.
Well, I hope so. Okie dokie, we'll be back in just a second with some top Star Wars moments.
Exciting.
XFM.
That's Gravity by Embrace. Adam and Joe on XFM. Oh, stop talking, will you, Joe?
What? Why?
Stop talking, you're not even funny.
I am funny.
Just play some music.
Okay, I'm not going to play music, but what I am going to play is... should you explain why you just said that?
Yeah, because that's what people write in to us.
Well, every single text we've got is extremely nice, but then one person always tries to spoil things.
You got to have some people. You got to have the haters.
Exactly. Where would we be without the haters?
Yeah.
So the Star Wars box set of DVDs has a fantastic documentary on it, called Empire of Dreams, and I've picked out my top three bits from it. Actually, number three isn't from that documentary. My number three favourite thing on the Star Wars DVDs is the trailer for The Empire Strikes Back. And these days, trailers have, you know, quite butch men, don't they? Even kids' films like Star Wars, they would have a man with a very butch, gravelly, low voice who would make the film sound important and serious and significant.
Yeah.
What wasn't like that?
In a time of dreams. That kind of
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. But they went in a different direction for the Empire trailer. Is it all queued up and ready, Ad?
Ready to go, Joe.
Let's listen to the trailer for The Empire Strikes Back.
Luke Skywalker and Han Solo rescued the princess, destroyed the Death Star, but their story didn't end there. Creators of the biggest smash hit of all time bring you the next episode in the Star Wars saga, The Empire Strikes Back. The continuing story of our band of heroes, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, C-3PO, R2-D2, and Chewbacca. And introducing Lando Calrissian. It's an epic of romance, of heroes and villains. They cross trackless voids to unknown worlds. A galactic odyssey against oppression. A big, new, sprawling space adventure in the Star Wars saga.
So big.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Does it? Oh, my God. You see,
Next summer.
I think that is the way to do movie trailers.
Empire Spanks Back.
Dr. Alan Grant rescued the lady and escaped from the park, but his story didn't end there. It's Jurassic Park 2! A thrilling, chilling dino coaster ride you won't want to miss. They fight giant creatures with scaly skin and teeth like very big spikes. A tropical conflict against monstrous odds. A big, new, shiny, exciting, slam-bam movie-woovie, Jurassic Park 2!
That would have been perfect.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, very good. And what about, I would have liked one for Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah, or Collateral. Jamie Foxx killed Tom Cruise and escaped with a nice lady. But his story didn't end there. It's Collateral 2! A thrilling, chilling, late-night taxi ride you cannot afford not to board.
Are you sure you didn't speed up the trailer?
No, that is the authentic trailer for The Empire Strikes Back. I love it when he goes, the big, new, exciting movie! Oh, I think they should bring that guy back.
More.
So that's number three in my top three Star Wars DVD moments. So are we going to do number two straight away?
Come on, then.
Why don't we tease it?
Oh, teasing?
Tease it. Play a record or something.
Oh, okay, then. There's Jet. That's Meantime by the Future Heads. You're listening to Adam and Joe here on XFM. Now we've got some more Star Wars action for you.
Yeah, we've just compiled the top three moments from the new Star Wars DVDs. At number three was that trailer from The Empire Strikes Back with a fantastically camp voice. At number two is Chewbacca speaking. Now, obviously, when they shot the film, they weren't sure whether Chewie would do his noise. That's not very good. Do a Chewy noise, Adam.
I'm not very good. Phil Jupitus is the king of the Chewy
right.
noise.
And so they just had the actor, Peter Mayhew?
Yeah.
In the suit, speak lines of dialogue. They'd written lines of dialogue for him. And there's a little bit in the documentary which lets you hear what that sounded like. So let's play that.
Action.
That old man's mad.
You said it, Chewy.
That old man's mad.
What would that have been like if they'd kept that in?
That old man's mad. I don't know about that bloke in the black helmet. He seemed like a bit of a nutter. Let's go on the big spaceship and escape.
Can you imagine?
Can we have that one more time?
Yeah.
Here we
go. Action.
That old man's mad.
You said it, Chewie.
So we go like, Chewie, put the Millennium Falcon into light speed.
Okay. I can't remember which switch it is. Oh, no, it's this one. Remind me again where the hyperdrive button is.
The funny thing is, Chewie should actually speak like that, because he looks like a big gangly old hippie. He looks like a sort of Terry Pratchett type, you know, or, you know, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, well...
He looks sort of like a techie.
Are you talking about Peter Mayhew now, or Chewie?
Both of them. I don't actually know what Peter Mayhew looks like. Because he's in that suit, isn't he?
No, but he gets interviewed a lot on that disc. And yeah, he's like he's more hairy than Chewie.
Is he?
He's an extraordinary looking character. Yeah. So are we going to have one more Star Wars bit now?
The number one Star Wars bit. Do you want to do it now?
Or shall we wait?
The number one best bit on the Star Wars DVDs.
Okay, now let's wait. Let's wait.
Tease
it. Got another free play now. This is Brendan Benson. That's called Tiny Spark. That's by Brendan Benson from his excellent album, La Palco. This is Adam and Joe on XFM.
Ooh, little burp there.
Little burpy.
Swallowed it down.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you very much for telling me.
So we've been running through our top three moments from the new Star Wars DVD box set. At number three was the camp trailer for The Empire Strikes Back that you'll find in the trailers section of disc four. At number two was Chewbacca speaking.
Yeah, that was great.
And can you guess what's at number one, Adam Buxton?
It's
a pretty obvious choice.
No, come on, tell me.
Well...
Or should we just play it? Is it something you can just play, or does it need to be explained?
No, it kind of needs to be explained. I mean, it's very obvious. For me, the best thing on that whole set of DVDs is the moment when...
It's surely not Darth.
When Darth Vader speaks with Dave Prowse's accent.
Fantastic.
So as everyone knows, it was Dave Prowse, the actor inside the Darth Vader suit in the first three films, had a sort of West Country accent, and he spoke Darth Vader's lines before they then dubbed it over with James Earl Jones. But the documentary shows you some snippets of what it sounded like with the original Dave Prowse voice.
Oh.
It's amazing stuff. Listen to this.
Finding the right voice for Darth Vader was another challenge.
And action! Start tearing the ship apart piece by piece until you find those tapes. Find the passengers of this vessel. I want them alive!
I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic...
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
That's exactly what you would think, wouldn't it? You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
He's really going for it, though, isn't he? He thinks the part is his. The voice is his. He thinks he's going to make it to the finished movie. And don't mess her up with my space station again, you silly bun-headed woman.
I am your father. What do you think of that, young Luke? I may have cut off your hand, but it's my prerogative as your dad. Now, you are great, but I think we're going to have to do something with your voice. What, like a kind of synthesizer effect or something on it?
Oh, yo, I'm your father. I am your father. I will kill you, naughty princess.
That'll sound great. That's a good idea, George.
No, actually, we're going to replace the whole thing with a guy with a deep voice.
Why are you going to do that, you bugger.
You nerd, you bloody nerd. George Lucas here is nothing but a nerd.
Let's have one more.
Video games nerd.
Finding the right voice for Darth Vader was another challenge.
And action! Start tearing the ship apart piece by piece until you find those tapes. Find the passengers of this vessel. I want them alive!
I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic...
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
Take her away.
It's a smash.
It's not quite as threatening as the finished thing, is it?
It's great, though, isn't it, overall, the amount of effort that they've put into the extras on that DVD
set.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's a bargain. Okay, now, I think are we going to try Ditties in the Dock, just for the sake of a tiny bit of continuity?
Yeah, well, regular listeners to our show will know in the final half hour we did something called Ditties in the Dock, where we each chose a record and you listeners voted for which one we should play.
It's an amazing feature. It's the kind of thing that we invented. No one else has ever done anything like it.
The title was a joke at first. Ditties in the Dock, because it's not a very good title.
No, and there's
nothing. But it's sort of stuck.
And we play sort of Western music underneath it, a bit like this.
Yeah. Oh, those were the days.
Yeah. So should we just have a try anyway?
Well, there might be. Apparently, XFM has a new phone system, and you have to go through all sorts of, if you want to speak to an operator, press one, sort of shenanigans. And that makes it a bit difficult for people to phone through. But we might try anyway.
So we'll understand if no one phones in to vote.
But please, you know, please phone in to vote. Please make those selections and push through that phone system, because we need sort of at least three voters before we can have a winner, don't we?
Now, Joe, I think you felt last time that it was a bit prejudicial as to who put their case first.
I believe the person who went first usually won, yeah.
Do you want to go first this time, then?
Okay. Okay, well, my ditty in the dock... Well, we're going to do it, are we now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, my ditty in the dock this week, Joe's ditty in the dock, it's not a pleasant song.
Oh.
It's Carrie Fisher singing to the tune of the Star Wars theme.
Oh.
It's from the Star Wars Holiday Special, which was a teleprogram that went out once in 1978 that basically featured Carrie Fisher possibly on inebriating substances, Mark Hamill just after his accident. It basically made a mockery of the whole Star Wars universe, but at the climax of it, it featured Carrie Fisher singing a song to the tune of the Star Wars theme. And I've got to be straight with you, listeners, it's absolutely appalling. But it's also quite amusing, and that's why it's my ditty in the dock.
That sounds great, as in G-R-A-T-E. Mm. My ditty in the dock is a totally different thing. It's not quite such an oddity, but it's by Robin Hitchcock. And he's a man that used to be in a band called the Soft Boys, and he's released amazingly unusual and interesting solo albums right through the 80s and the 90s and on into the noughties. This is a track called The Man Who Invented Himself from an album of his called Black Snake Diamond Roll. And I'm telling you, do yourself a favour and vote for this one, because it's a peach and it will gain you access to a wonderful world of music which is not as well known as it should be. It sounds a bit like something that might have popped up on Hunky Dory by David Bowie. But it's a really great song, and it's not the kind of thing you would normally hear on XFM or any other radio station for that
matter.
Well,
neither's Carrie Fisher singing a song to the tune of the Star Wars theme.
Well, that's a fair point. So
call 0871 222 1049. 0871 222 1049. We beg you to call, to struggle through the phone system and to cast your vote. Either Robin Hitchcock singing what?
The Man Who Invented Himself.
That one. Or Carrie Fisher singing a song to the tune of the Star Wars theme from the Star Wars Holiday Special. You decide which song plays out the show. 0871 222 1049. Call now!
Wow. That's Green Day with American Idiots.
That's a strong song, isn't it? Strong song. Americans are idiots.
It's got bleeped swearing words in it. Yeah. It's just... Oh,
you know, the video to that's quite amusing. Have you seen the video to that?
No.
It's green. It is Green Day, isn't it? Green Day playing next to a big green American flag, green paint coming out of big green boxes. But the director seems to be a little nervous about showing Green Day's actual age, because they're getting on now, Green Day.
Well, the lead singer looks like Gary Newman at the moment. He's got all black hair and kind of...
But they look like Busted will look in 25 years if they don't change their clothes.
One of Busted already looks like that.
Yeah. So the director tries to compensate for that by every technique in the book. Out of focus, a lot of green paint, just filming the ear... I don't think there are any clear, clean, in-focus shots of the band Green Day in their video.
It's a necessary thing once people start getting older and they're in the public eye. Like the new REM album, I don't know if you've seen the cover of that.
No, blurry?
It's very blurry, and they're all stretched and elongated blurs.
Really?
Yeah, so you sort of think, oh, they're cool rock men, but of course when you actually see them, they're gnarled.
Whatever happened
lumpy.
To just being honest about your gnarl? A really nice... crisp, clear, black and white photo of an old man's face, like the texture of the Arizona desert,
like Johnny
or
Cash.
A road map, you know? Why be ashamed of age?
Well, we, you know, sort of circumvented that issue on the Adam and Joe DVD by having a very old photograph of us looking young.
I don't look any different.
No, of course, no.
Yeah. I look like a little baby.
A little lovely baby. Thanks for phoning in to vote for Ditties in the Dock. Don't forget, you are voting for either Carrie Fisher singing a twisted version of the theme from Star Wars, or the fantastic Robin Hitchcock singing a song called The Man Who Invented Himself. You can still phone us, 0871 222 1049, and we will play the winning song at the end of the hour.
Hey, and you know, I've got to apologise to a couple of listeners who believe that I gave away the ending to Collateral. I haven't even seen Collateral. I guessed the ending.
People get very upset when you
Why
give away the ending.
Why are people so upset about that?
Well, you know, our friend Graham Linehan, I was talking to him the other day, and he was saying...
That's a little bit of a name drop, isn't it? If you're going to drop the name, you might as well explain who he is.
He is one of this country's finest comedy writers, responsible for Father Ted, along
Big
with
train.
His partner. Arthur Matthews, and he's great. Anyway, but I was talking to Graham, and he was saying that he was going to see...
How are you going to tell this story without now giving away the ending of another film?
Because I don't accept point that it's I gave it away. Because Open Water is this film about these two people who get left behind by a boat in shark-infested waters. Yeah. It's based on a true story that actually happened.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're changing the ending or anything.
Yeah.
So what do you think happens to two people left
let's not tell anybody, just in case. I saw that film. I thought it was rubbish.
I wouldn't go and see it because I can imagine how it ends. And I think, why would you bother sitting through that with such a predictable ending? And Graham said, I can't believe you gave away the ending. I was like, what do you think happens? It's based on a true story, and the true story was tragic. Does that give you a clue?
It's just that film's just like an episode of, this has been said before, but it's like an episode of Emergency 999 without the Michael Burke voiceover.
But people are freaking out about it like it's the rebirth of cinema.
It's rubbish.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay, then. Right, we'll be back in just a second.
XFM.
What happened there? Was that a technical problem?
Snow Patrol imploded.
Oh, that's that fighting.
That's How to Be Dead by Snow Patrol.
He rhymed ride with pride.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know. I just think that...
I know, it's the same word, essentially.
Yeah. Generally, I have a problem with rock lyrics. And this brings me round to one of the new Gap ads.
Not the Kravitz-based...
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz's new Gap ads. I don't know, listeners, whether you've seen the new Lenny Kravitz Gap ad.
Is it the one with...
Sexy Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah, doing her horse dance.
From Sex and the City, the programme men can't watch without wanting to be gay or hate women.
Yes, that's the one.
Lenny, who's basically a walking... Well, I don't know, he's not very good, basically, is he, Kravitz? Is he? XFM listeners don't like Kravitz, do they?
Oh, there are some classic Kravitz moments.
Do they like Kravitz? Well, I apologise to anybody who likes Kravitz, but you know...
Are you going to go my way?
It's not really a classic Kravitz moment, is it? It's a classic Hendrix moment. That he copies.
Oh.
But anyway, whether you like Kravitz or not, the lyrics to his special new song for Gap are really awful. I mean, if you apply to some sort of rock school and that was on your application form, they wouldn't let you in. The thing is, I keep trying to record this advert, but I keep missing it because I want to copy the lyrics out to Lenny's Gap song, but I keep missing it. So this is a request to listeners for next week. Please, if you spot the Lenny Kravitz Gap advert on telly, jot down the lyrics because it has some of the most, you know, if a child were to attempt to write a rock song, they'd do better than this. She's a sexy lady, she's not shady. Now, the whole idea of ladies being shady, I mean, that's just awful, isn't it?
What the hell
you
is he
don't
talking
use,
about?
You don't rhyme the word shady with lady unless you're 10.
Well, I can think of a
and
way
living
of
in
doing
the 50s.
It. I can think of a more filthy way of doing it.
Well, that's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it starts with lady and shady and it gets worse. So please, listeners, if you spot the Lenny Kravitz Gap advert, jot the lyrics into an email and email us, adamandjoe@xfm.co.uk. You can do it during the week. We'll pick up all the emails when we come in next Saturday, same time, 1 till 3. And it would be terrific if someone could help me with that problem.
Okay, I'll keep my eyes peeled as well.
Thank you.
That'll be exciting. We got Titties in the Dock, the resolution of that coming up.
Should we
shortly.
Remind people what they're voting for?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, my Ditty in the Dock this week is Carrie Fisher singing a very odd song to the tune of the Star Wars theme from the climax of the 1978 Star Wars Holiday Special.
I have heard it now, and I can tell you that it is genuinely sort of dreadful.
It's dreadful, but it's you know, it has to be heard.
Because it's not as similar, though. I mean, the song itself sort of weaves in and out of the theme.
No, well, I can test that. I think it's the start...
It doesn't start off the same. It's not like the EastEnders song
No, she's not singing. She's not singing like, Star Wars, there have been Star Wars, there are all spaceships in the sky.
That's what I
which
want.
Which would be a shame. But she does build up to something akin to that.
Yeah.
If you can tolerate it for that long.
The alternative, don't forget, is something that's just genuinely very good by Robin Hitchcock, someone who may not be known to all of you, but he's brilliant, well worth investigating, and it's the Muso choice of the week.
So you get to vote which of those two tracks, Carrie Fisher singing over the Star Wars theme or Robin Hitchcock, gets to play out the show. 0871 222 1049 to vote.
Right now, here's the Foo Fighters. That's the Foo Fighters, The Generator.
That could be a song from the soundtrack of the Bob the Builder, the movie. I'm a generator, I make lots of noise. I'm a forklift truck, I pick things up. Yeah, it's a possibility, isn't it?
Good idea. Get the Foo Fighters in to do that, and I would buy it happily. The ditties in the dock now. Just to remind you that your choices for ditties in the dock this week were... Joe Cornish?
Joe Cornish's ditty this week was Carrie Fisher from the Star Wars Holiday Special 1978, only ever shown once because it was so appalling.
That's not available on the box set.
No, not in the box set. This is from my own personal archive. Carrie Fisher singing a very odd sort of Wookiee hymn to the tune of Star Wars, the Star Wars theme.
My choice was much more straightforward. It was Robin Hitchcock from his fantastic album, Black Snake Diamond Roll, one of his first solo albums. I recommend you buy it if you don't have it, and it's a track called The Man Who Invented Himself, which will just brighten up your day no end. We're going to take the first five calls. Oh, the best of five will be played. Okay, so let's see.
What was that?
I have no idea.
Harmonica.
Hello, are you there, caller?
Line one, hello. Anybody there on line
one?
Hello. Is it going to be...
Hang on, let's ask this person her name. Hello.
What's your name?
Gina.
Hi, Gina. How are you doing? Thank you very much for calling in. What are you going to vote for this week? Is it Carrie or Robin?
Carrie, please.
One vote for Carrie.
One for Carrie.
Thank you very much, Gina. Now, I think we've got Lorraine.
Hello.
Hi, Lorraine. How are you doing?
All right.
What's he going to be, Carrie or Robin?
Oh, Robin, definitely.
Oh, well one done. All. He's fantastic, isn't one he? All. There you go, one all. Now, let's see. Is this LV?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, LV, how are you doing?
How are you?
Oh, you're almost called Elvis, aren't you?
Yeah, almost there.
Thank you very much for phoning in. And what are you going to vote for? Is it Carrie Fisher or Robin Hitchcock?
Carrie Fisher,
there. Wow, LV, dangerous choice. Do you know what you're letting yourself in for? I think not. On the next line is Claire.
Hello.
Hey, Claire.
Hello.
It's all sort of lovely ladies calling
very
today.
Very sexy-sounding ladies.
It's exotic ladies. Hello, how are you, Claire?
I'm very well, thank you.
What are you wearing? what are you voting for?
I'm going for Hitchcock.
For the Hitchcock?
Nice.
What's that, 2-2 now?
That is 2-2. Thanks very much for your
this
call,
This is
Claire.
The decider.
And it's David.
Hang on, spin this out. This is the decider. Oops, this is sorry. A big moment. Okay. Professional radio jocks make capital out of this sort of thing.
Capital?
No, not that sort of capital. okay, this is the... Oh, it's 2-2.
Okay, David.
It's the deciding vote. David, you're a man, therefore you have this very male responsibility.
Da-da-da-da-da-da! Oh, nice!
You're a clever man as well. I don't want you to say any words, David. I just want you to just speak to us in fanfares. No, I'm not serious.
Okay, David.
It's got to be Carrie.
Oh, well done, David.
David. Thank you very much for your call, and that is it. Carrie Fisher wins the day. That was sort of predictable because it is a fascinating.
They're going to regret it when they hear it, though.
You are. Check this out. Now, here we go. This is Carrie Fisher singing.
The song has no name, but it's from the Star Wars Holiday Special in 1978, singing a weird Wookiee hymn to the theme of Star Wars. Good luck.
As if we needed that.
It has to be said that when you watch the video of that, she's completely boss-eyed when she's singing that. Probably from narcotics, which she's openly admitted to being on narcotics during the making of Star Wars.
She must have been wasted.
Loaded up to the eyeballs. Very odd. And she's when she's seeing that, she's gripping onto Chewbacca's chest hairs as if she's hanging off a cliff. Wow. Well, thanks, people, for voting for that. That'll teach you to vote for Adam in future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I might just bring Robin Hitchcock in with me next week and play it anyway, because it is a smash.
Thanks for listening, everybody. It's nearly the end of our show. It's very nice to be back. Tell your friends that we're here every Saturday, 1 till 3. Hey, and if you're in town this afternoon, why not buy the Adam and Joe DVD?
Yeah, it's out, you know. I don't know if you realise that.
Yeah, it's really good as well.
Yeah, we're going to get a spanking after this now, aren't we? Okay, well, we'll be back with you next week. Lots of love. Have a lovely week. Bye. Love you.
Bye. XFM.